while we're talking women's football, we may as well mention the Matildas. Without notice, Teo, some less than impressive results against European and now Scandinavian opposition, a draw against Sweden overnight. What have you made of the Matildas' performance? I mean, we've been barraged by football at the moment, so I don't blame you if you haven't seen too much of it. But has at least the Denmark sort of rally in the second half given you any optimism?
No, because I think we got it wrong at selection. I think either Tony G or his advisors are just getting it wrong. They're not picking players with the right short-term mindset for the Olympics coming up. I'm not putting any sort of currency in the rally. The team was 3-0 down, so we don't know what Denmark may have clocked off at their end. You know, I think we'll be okay at the Olympics. Obviously, we won't win, but I think that, again, the team needs to carve out an identity, and right now the world's out to get us, backs to the wall. Who are we to judge the Matildas' performances? I'm not sure that's the identity they want to create for themselves. They need to be warm, they need to be broad, and they need to encompass all opinions, because when you are the host nation of a World Cup where soccer is not the number one sport, and I say soccer just to trigger you in the context of that sentence, then you need to put up with every garbage opinion of everyone, because those neutrals are allegedly the ones you are trying to turn into bandwagon fans.
Ouch. You know what else triggered me, Teo? We're seeing Emily Van Egmond on her 100th cap play at the base of midfield again. We still don't know her natural position. It's still not clicking after 100 appearances in green and gold. Just shrug. Shrug emoji. Yeah.
JoseMourinho.gif.
If I speak. Oh, dear. What about the Socceroos then? Dummy, I can bring you in on this maybe. A 1-0 win against Jordan overnight. Fairly workmanlike dispatching of lower quality opposition in these qualifying games, but 8 wins from 8. And we could be facing Japan or Iran in the next round of World Cup qualifying. I don't suppose you have a preference on who you might like to draw?
Gee, Josh, you're assuming there that I didn't watch the Matildas game ahead of the Socceroos game. Gee, I'm offended. I didn't actually watch the Socceroos game either. But
I think few people did, unless they were working on it.
Did you watch it?
No, I was watching the Euros, mate.
When did you get up?
I was awake while it was going on. I was watching Hungary Portugal in front of a capacity crowd. It was too good to resist. But you know, we're going into the toughies now with pot two. We've been drawn in, so we can't play against South Korea. It's going to be Japan or Iran as the first seeded opponent. The third seed is either Saudi Arabia or the UAE. Then it's Iraq or China, Syria or Oman, and Vietnam or Lebanon. So I think there are some pretty clear choices who I'd rather have in the Socceroos group if they're going to have an easy passage. If we drew, you know, Syria, Vietnam, Iraq, Saudi Arabia and Japan, I think we might be in for a bit of trouble.
Yeah, I know that we always fall into the trap of saying, oh, we'll beat them. The only team that falls into that category is Lebanon. Everyone else is a potential banana skin. I think the crucial thing here is, are we going to have the right border restrictions to play our games at home, or are we going to have to play them at neutral venues? And if so, can those neutral venues be in Europe? Would the AFC let the Socceroos play home AFC qualifiers in London rather than, say, Malaysia? Damir, who do you want us to draw?
In terms of from pot one, I'd probably be more inclined to draw Iran, irrespective of the fact that we haven't played Iran in qualifying since 97. So it might be a bit of an entry unknown.
Straight in the heart, Damir. You'd really triggered everybody there.
In terms of, you know, the logistical aspect of it, although we did play Iraq in the 2018 qualifiers in Iran. But yeah, I just think that the Japanese are at a bit of a stronger level than where the Iranians are. I noted they had a few issues with Wilmot post Kirosh, but now they seem to be on the mend that they did beat Iraq last night to, you know, confirm passage into the next round. So look, it's going to be tough either way. You look at some of these team's nature, they're improving. And I know that's cliche to say that they're slowly closing the gap, but, you know, in the case of you look at top three, I mean, UAE, Birdman Malik, he would, you know, be quite the story if he was to coach an upset win against the Socceroos, given how little we got from him at the 2018 World Cup. You also see, you know, Vietnam out of really nowhere coming up to, you know, top, they were first up until last night, until the UAE took over in first place. But they actually finished ahead of both local rivals, Malaysia, who had a much improved team with a few naturalised players, including a couple of Aussies, and Brendan Gan and Matthew Davies. And also Thailand, who seemed to be making quite a bit of progress in the 2014 and 2018 World Cup qualifiers, only to be brought back down to earth in this one and have a disappointing campaign. The fact that Lebanon has made it suggests that they're improving. Syria came almightily, you know, within millimetres of knocking Australia out of the 2018 World Cup qualifiers. So they're another team to watch. And, you know, you can never also discount the Saudis. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting times ahead on the road to Qatar next year. And as Tao alluded to, I reiterate what he said, it's going to be really interesting to see what's going to happen with the home games, because it doesn't look like Australia's border restrictions will end anytime soon.
Well, Australia's progression to World Cups recently has been on the back of home form. So it's going to be very challenging to play at neutral venues. On Lebanon, Damir, they qualified ahead of Turkmenistan and Sri Lanka and North Korea, who withdrew from qualifying. So I don't think it was a particularly tough draw for Lebanon in Group H.
Yeah, you know, if they qualified for the Cricket World Cup through that path, I'd be very impressed.
Yeah, it's those Turkmenistani cricketers you got to worry about. Oh dear. Well, do we have any thoughts on the way the Socceroos have been playing recently? Are there any conclusions or lessons that we can draw from this most recent batch of qualifying games, other than Aiden Hrustic is a baller? Anyone want to jump in? Ed, Teo, Damir? No? Yeah. Shaking of heads?
I think given, you know, you mentioned Lebanon's lack of quality opposition in qualifying, you know, you could extend the same to Australia. I was a bit disappointed that, you know, for example, against Nepal, only a 3-0 victory against an inherently inferior team. And, you know, it's not always the scoreline. You've got to look to the football that they're playing. But I think you brought up an interesting stat in, which, you know, I do apologise if you mentioned in previous shows, but they're, you know, outperforming their XG. And they're also not really creating a lot of, you know, clear-cut goal-scoring opportunities, which I do wonder, against more quality opposition, will that cost Australia, particularly on the road? Because as you've correctly highlighted, Australia's path to previous World Cups has been sown in impressive home form. There's rarely ever a home defeat, and when it is, it's generally in games that don't really matter once Australia's already progressed either to the next stage. So yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this team looks like in the remaining fixtures later this year when the really tough part of World Cup qualifiers commences.
Can I just say, there would be a cruel irony if after 2 decades of waiting, we finally get Iran in a competitive game. And it's at a neutral venue. Mm. Next time we can march back to the MCG and have a do over. We need to do it. And I actually, even for the football purposes aside, I hope we draw Japan. We can't draw Iran like this. Not when we can't have a home crowd.
Not like this,
please.
I am concerned that we're only scoring off set pieces. That's my main concern. I don't think we can rely on big Harry Suter to nut one in every time. I know he's only going to be so effective for so long. I think his hot streak has to end at some point. And then where are the goals going to come from? That is my question.
No more Harry Suter nuts for us.
No, unfortunately. But would we play it at the MCG again, Teo? Do you think, like, restrictions aside, would it be at Amy Park in front of 35 instead of...
No, I think this is folklore. This is... a game that could get 65-70 purely based on the fact that everyone who knows football in this country will want to go back and put the demons to rest.
Also, I think a big thing that we have to kind of put behind us is the fact that the largest or the most important football match we've seen at the MCG for probably the last 5 years was Liverpool versus Melbourne Victory. I think we have to overcome that eventually. The MCG.
Hang on, Ed, it was absolutely the Argentina-Brazil game.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Or Atletico Madrid versus Roma. That in the Champions Cup.
Champions Cup, the storied competition. Mm. Which member of the local Code Wars mafia will storm onto the field and cut the goal net up?
Tom Brown.
I was going to say Jonathan Brown as a stint for Nova. He'll come running on. Handing everyone Sharon.
This is a sponsored segment.
Yeah, take it.
All right, I reckon that's all we've got time for tonight. Gentlemen, thank you for bearing with us through our technical difficulties in setup, and thank you for your insights on the Euros and on Australian football. I think what we've learnt tonight is that Stajic will win the World Cup with another team in 2023.
He just won't step foot in Victoria while doing it.
No, he'll just let his team play on their own interstate. And Bert van Marwijk's knocking us out of World Cup qualifying.